Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning and welcome aboard the Fly Girl Show with your host, Casey Grant, where she believes your blessings are as numerous as the stars in the sky. We have planned an interesting show today and hope at the end of the show you will have learned something new, met someone interesting, or have discovered a new way to reach your dream. Please invite your family and friends to listen to the show, which is on every Wednesday at 11 o'clock a.m. Central Standard Time. Our call-in listener number is 347-857-3609. That's 347-857-3609. We invite you to call in and become a part of the program with your questions or comments. Casey will love to hear from you. So please fasten your seatbelt, sit back and relax, and enjoy the Fly Girl Show. God bless and have a prosperous week.
Good morning and welcome aboard the Fly Girl Show. I am your host, Casey Grant, and I would like to thank you for tuning in this morning. Today I'm happy to say this is my first show, and I am so excited to have Patricia Grace Murphy as my guest. Patricia was the first African-American hired by Delta Airlines as a stewardess. Pat was also my inspiration for writing my book, Stars in the Sky, which is about pioneers in aviation and the history and unknown stories of being the first African-American stewardess for Delta. Hello, Pat.
Hi, how are you?
I am fine. How are you today?
Oh, it's all with me today. Thank you again.
Good, good, good. Well, would you please tell my audience a little bit about yourself? Give us some examples like where you're from, how you started to fly with Delta, how old you were. Just give us a little history, a little rundown. So just take your time and relax. We want to hear this story.
Patricia Grace Murphy. I'm born and raised in Chicago, Illinois. I was hired by Delta Airlines in June 1966. Yes.
That was a long time ago.
Yes, it was. And I, I had attended an airline school. And that was in St. Louis, Missouri.
Okay.
And the way I have gotten into this airline school is it was a flyer that came into the mail when I was in Chicago. And so the flyer said, airline school, if you'd like to apply, please do. And so at that time, I had stars in my eyes. And I wanted to see the world and travel, so this was a good opportunity for me to do this. Now, I applied for the school. I went into the school and started the program. The program consisted of training to be a ticket agent and or reservationist. I didn't particularly want to do this, but I figured this is the way to get in to a major airline to be a stewardess. This is what I thought I was supposed to do this, and I did this. And anyway, I took the course, very good course. I learned a lot, and at the same time, they provided me with addresses to all the major airlines, which I gladly had taken, and I had sent them mail to ask them to please send me an application form for training to train to be a stewardess.
Okay.
I think I sent about six of these letters out, and I had received four letters back. Three of the letters were a nay, and the fourth letter was a hey. It was a good one. It was yes, we would like to see you. We would like for you to fly down to Atlanta. This was Delta Airlines, and we would like to interview you.
So now, how did your parents, let me ask you, how did your parents feel about this, Pat?
Yes, that was my next step there. My parents knew that I was had the stars in my eyes and just wondering what should I do with my life after I had graduated from high school, had some college, did some working, and they just wondered what was happening. What did I want to do? I told them I wanted to travel.
Okay.
And that's what happened. They agreed. It's okay, Pat, we'll send you there, and we'll see what happens. And it worked out beautifully. And the letter was a good letter.
Okay.
Yes, come into Atlanta. We'll interview you. I was interviewed. I was hired in June 66. My first base, of course, which I wanted, was Chicago, and I gotten it.
Great.
And, it was great. It was, and the career, my career was absolutely wonderful. I had a wonderful time, and I learned a lot, and I loved my career. So
I have a surprise guest for you that might want to add in. I think this is probably a perfect time for her to chime in. So we have somebody that you will remember, June Kuhnkamp. Do you remember June?
June Kuhnkamp, my first and only one supervisor that I loved very much.
Hi, Pat. How are you?
Hi, June.
Oh, it's so good to talk to you.
I know. It's been years.
It sure has. A lot's happened.
Oh, it's been a lot that happened. Oh, I just thank you so much for guiding me and through my little rough times when I was in Chicago, June. It was,
oh, Pat.
It was wonderful.
You did such a marvelous job. You know, it was so hard, and I know how hard it had to be. Because we were Southern Airline, honey.
That's right, Southern Airline. That's exactly.
And it was tough.
Yes.
Well, now, June, tell me, did they give you any special notice or preparation, or what type of things did you have to do to welcome this first African-American flight attendant, or stewardess, as they were called then, to the base? So were there any special preparations or anything that you knew of?
No, I didn't know of anything special. I just knew, you know, that she was going to have a, you know, she had to be a very special person to make it, because
she is very special.
Yeah, she certainly was. With the big smile, the wonderful sense of humor, and she was great. She handled it beautifully.
Well, you know, Delta was very supportive, and Delta supported all of us during the years. I flew for almost 35 years. And I tell you, it's really one of the best companies in the world as far as I think we're all concerned. And, you know, Pat had said when she first got there that she had a little difficulty finding an apartment. Do you know anything about that? Or Pat, do you want to talk about that and tell us how June was instrumental in helping you or the supervisor?
Oh, yes. I did have problems. Me being born and raised in Chicago, it put me in kind of a little shock. Syndrome there. I couldn't believe I couldn't find any place to live near the airport. So I did go to some of the apartment complexes and tried to apply, but it was of no avail. So I remember June says, if you have a problem, please come to me and I will help you. And she did. It was wonderful. She contacted two flight attendants, and they immediately took me right in. So I didn't think it was that simple, but it was very simple. So I was very blessed in that area. And I think
What, ladies? We have someone else that I think is going to be a big surprise to you, Pat, there. And June, I think you know this person also. So let me welcome the next caller. And then Terry.
Hi. Hi, Casey. Hi, Pat. Hi, June. June, you are my supervisor, too.
Hi, Sherry. How are you?
Well, let me
hear me under a different name then. But, Casey, I'm so excited about your talk show. You're the perfect person to have a radio talk show. You always have the gift of gab. And I'm excited about your book coming out. And with Pat, I flew with you out of New Orleans. And You know what tough times we had in New Orleans,
yes.
But
yes.
Pat showed me the ropes. I think my first West Coast trip I flew with Pat. We went to L.A. But it was I also had the same problem in New Orleans, not being able to find a place to live, and ended up moving in with another flight attendant, stewardess at the time, into a private home. I wanted to know why I couldn't go. And I think, Pat, you were living in the French Quarter.
Yes, but I was.
Because you were holding a line, but because
yes.
I was on reserve and knew, I had to stay, you know, within 10 minutes of the airport, and they wouldn't rent to us there. And
yes.
So I had to end up moving into a private home. We were so jealous of Pat because
yes.
she was so, I think you had like 4 years, you had been flying 4 years, and you were so senior. And
oh.
so beautiful. We worshipped her when we would see her walking down the terminal. Like, oh, there goes Pat.
but I like to intervene, though. I did live with a family in Kenner, Louisiana, before I moved into the French Quarters because I couldn't find a place to live. So
oh, okay.
That's what happened. Yes.
You had to do the same thing, too.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Crazy, even back in 1970, you would think that it wouldn't be an issue.
Yes.
But it was.
Yes. And it was an issue.
Well, let me introduce the audience to you, Terry. Terry is also featured in my book, which is called Stars in the Sky. And I tell you, I have some really interesting stories and the trials and tribulations that Terry went through. And so you're going to have to get the book and learn about all of these wonderful stories that Patricia has to tell. So I want to ask you another question, though, June. With Pat being the first, did you meet her right away? Was the only supervisor? Were you the only supervisor at that time? Just give
me
some...
was a base manager, and then I was the only supervisor. But I was under the base manager. So, yeah, I met her right away.
Oh.
So she came into the base.
Okay. And so did you hear of anything, you know, any fires that you had to put out behind Pat's back that she didn't know? Because I know, like I said once before, Delta was very protective of Pat. And Pat has said that, how good Delta was to her during those times. Because it wasn't just the airlines. It was about what was going on in the world at that time that were issues. So do you remember any stories or anything that happened where you may have had to step up or even shield Patricia from anything?
Well, there were one or two girls that said that they didn't want to fly with her. And I said, well, fine, you know, you can always find another job. But if you get called out and you fly with Pat, you fly with her.
Oh, my. Yeah. Things like that,
and,
Pat, you didn't know, right?
And there were a couple of pilots that tethered their nose out of the joint a little bit. But, you know, all you had to do was just talk to them a little bit. And most of them, not all, but most were okay.
Yes. Yeah.
And do you think that maybe... I wonder what some of the reasons were. I mean, as I said, we're really all trying to reach back into our minds and remember what the times were in 1966. But do you think it was because it was just such a foreign thing to them? Do you think that they didn't think Pat was capable? I mean, obviously, she was qualified because she had gone through all the training, and if she graduated, she definitely was capable. So do you just think it was maybe a unknown adventure for them to be served by a black person? And how did the passengers, Pat, I want you to answer as well as June, but you were in the office. But, Pat, what was the reaction with the passengers when they saw you?
Most of the passengers were polite, but they didn't want to look at me when I served them. Or just kind of turned their heads, but they were polite, and some were not polite. And I had to deal with that. And then there were some that, I did say that, they did not, some of the passengers did not, just said it very politely, I just don't want to be served. So that I ran into that too. So it didn't bother me. I just went on to the next passenger and did what I had to do. The job had to be done. So I knew it wasn't me, it was the passenger. So that's the way it is. That's the way it was at that time.
You had some trouble at a hotel down in Jackson too, didn't you?
Yes, I did. Yes, if I can remember. I can't remember, but I do remember parts of it, but not all of it.
The way I heard it, it was that they were going to send you down the street to a quote, colored, unquote, motel, and the captain says, you know, we rent rooms for the crews, and, you know, you're renting to her, or we're going to change hotels, and I guess they let you stay there.
They did, yeah, they did. Thank you for bringing my memory back on that one, yes. Yeah,
probably something you'd rather forget.
Amen.
And once again, that just shows another way of how supportive Delta was in protecting you, Pat. And everyone stayed, you know, was right on target in making sure that you were treated equally.
Yes.
Equally. Because a lot was really standing on your shoulders, because as Terry came later and I came a little after you, we all know that, Pat, whether you really knew it, felt it, or however you want to deal with that, if you had not been able to break the barrier and do it well, we don't know how many more and how much later it would have been before Delta would have tried to experiment with trying to hire some more black stewardesses.
Exactly. And if I didn't make it, they would have, like you said, they would have gotten someone else, but I'm sure the eyes were on me and they're looking to see if I was going to make it, cut it or not cut it, because I couldn't run to June for all of my problems, and I couldn't run to the corporate office every time something came up. That to me, that was out of the question. I just had to deal with it and have June or maybe another supervisor help me out through this situation that I was in. So that's how it came about for me.
I have to say that Pat is a very, very unique person. She is one of the few people that could have handled it the way she did, and she made us all so proud.
Yeah, I agree. I totally agree with that. Pat's personality, she just handled herself with such grace and style that I don't think that I could have handled it the way that she did, because the sly and some of the nastiness that went on had to have been very difficult to deal with. And because of Pat, you know, they were able to see that, you know, we were no different. And we could do the job and do it very well. And Pat, I am truly grateful to you. You guys, I have to run. I have to fly. Casey, bless you. And June and Pat, it was good to talk to you. You guys,
good to talk to you.
Thank you.
Love around. Bye-bye.
Fighting off. Thank you so much, Terry, for joining in on us. So, June, as I said, you were in the position to know a lot of things. And as Pat just said, she really had forgotten, because life was so good. There weren't that many terrible things that happened. But the things that did happen were enough to have scarred you, and I'm glad that it didn't. But as we have said, and as we all know, you are a professional and really the most gracious lady I've known. I remember the days of walking down the concourse and was lucky enough to see you, because during those days you flew different hours. And as for the audience, if you don't know how the pecking system goes, it's about seniority. The longer you've been flying, the better your days off. So with Pat being that being the case, you had a couple of years ahead of me, which means you probably weren't flying weekends, right?
That's correct. And if I flew the weekends, then I chose to do that.
Exactly. So, well, being junior, I was there for the holidays and I was there for the weekends. So the times that I was able to see you walking through the rotunda in Atlanta was definitely a thrill. And So, June, now, did you fly, or what was your capacity?
Oh, I had flown for 7 years, and then I went into the office. Well, I was there for a total of, I guess, 17 years. But then I went back on the line.
Oh, so you flew for how many years before you went into the office?
Seven.
You flew 7 years, and then you remained in the office for 17.
Uh-huh.
And then how many years did you fly after that before you retired?
Well, I retired in 2004, so I flew for a total of 46 years.
Mm, yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
And
yeah.
I was with Delta for a total of 46 years. I should put it that way. 47
okay.
years.
Exactly. How many years did you fly, Pat?
35. I retired in 2001, 9/11.
You did 35 years.
Mm-hmm.
My goodness. And so do you miss those days?
I miss the camaraderie with the flight attendants, with the stewardesses or the flight attendants.
Yeah.
I really, really miss that. Miss the layovers, yes, I do that. I do miss that.
I miss it very much. You had more
I'm the same way. I don't think I'd want to fly today. I don't know, but I do miss my layovers. I miss the people I flew with.
Because
it was a special bond.
Yes.
Definitely. I am the same. I say the same thing. I do a lot of flying still for a vacation or visiting friends, and I still enjoy when we all get together because Chicago was a very wonderful, close base. Exactly. And the friendships that were developed then still exist.
Yes.
And I tell you, I don't miss the work, but I do miss the layovers. That's when you really got to relax, get to know the person that you had worked all
day with.
That's
when you let your hair down and had fun.
And you did, and we really did. And I did international for the last 10 years. Now, did you ever do any international, Patricia?
No, I did a lot of Caribbean flying, and that was out of New Orleans, and I really enjoyed that.
Did you retire out of New Orleans?
I retired out of Orlando, Florida.
Oh, that's right. They opened up a base in Orlando.
Did they have flights
out of Orlando?
I'm sorry. Could you ask that question again, Casey?
Did Delta have international flights out of Atlanta?
Yes.
I'm sorry, out of Orlando?
At that time, I think it's mostly Caribbean flights. And I can't remember if they had any. No, I don't think they had any international flights, just Caribbean flights, I believe, if I'm not mistaken. I hope I'm not wrong, but I think it's just Caribbean flying.
And what about you, June? Did you do international? Have we lost you, June?
Yes, I think she's gone.
Oh, my. Okay. Well, it's just the two of us. All right, then.
Okay.
So, well, Pat, as you said, though, you didn't do any international flying. Okay.
Yes. But
wow.
I did a lot of international flying on my days off. And, of course, me being retired, that's what I do. I do some of that now. So very enjoyable.
Oh, and that's what I was going to ask you. So you still do traveling. You do
travel. Yes.
Do you go to Europe very often?
Not that often. No, I do not go to Europe that often.
Okay. Wow. Well, this is really interesting. I tell you.
It was a great career, like I said before. I enjoyed
it. Yes. Right. Okay. Well, I was hoping that June would be in on us some more for this conversation, but I think we've lost her.
Yes. Yeah, hopefully she'll come back on, but I guess not.
I guess so. Well, you know, another person that we are going to have on the show is going to be Fanola.
Okay,
Smith.
Fantastic.
Remember now, how much? You had been flying how long before Fanola started flying? And did you ever fly together?
We never did. I think Fanola came on 6 months after I came on with Delta. And she was based in Memphis, I believe.
Okay.
And you know she's from, I believe she's from Atlanta, Georgia. She was born and raised in Atlanta, I believe.
Oh, okay. Do we have June back on?
Yeah.
Well, hello, June. We missed you.
I don't know what happened. All of a sudden, you were gone.
I know. That's what Pat and I were saying. We were waiting for some more interesting stories from you. And I think one of the things that I was asking is, did you ever fly international?
I flew international for the last 10 years that I was employed.
Okay, and that was
really... I flew to Europe mostly.
Okay, that was really an experience, isn't it? It's such a difference from domestic flying to international flying.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, it really is. I don't know. I think it's easier, except for the time zones that you have to keep crossing.
Yeah, I think so, too. I did my last 10 years out of New York, and I flew international. And one of my longer flights, well, I was also going to school for interior design, so I was trying to fly the longer flights, which were Istanbul, Greece, and which were my two, that basically were the longest ones we had.
I love both of them.
You did do both of them?
Yes, I certainly did. I loved them both.
Amen.
Oh, I tell you.
Yeah.
But, you know, well, one of the things that, you know, I'm kind of going back now to the very beginning of what we were talking about, and I kind of want to ask Pat, why did you want to become a flight attendant? I don't know if you addressed that, but if you did, repeat it for me, and if not, give me some insight. Had you traveled as a child? I mean, where did this inspirational travel thing come in your life?
Oh, that's when I was a young girl in Chicago. I'm thinking to myself, I said before, where am I going now since all of the main basics of high school and some college training done, which I didn't want to continue on. I wanted to do something else with my life, and just wanted to get out, to do something, travel, see the world. How can I do that? And that's what I said before. I gathered information on this airline school, and off I went. That's just how it was with me. So I loved it. Yes.
And your parents, you know, I know that you had said they were very supportive. I mean, this was a big
thing. Yes, they were. Yeah. It was a big thing for them. Yeah, they knew I had some wings that I wanted to fly, just go and fly somewhere, do something else besides other occupations that were presented before me, and I know I didn't want to do any of those. So, again, that flyer that came in, I think that's what had me think in another direction to go out and do the traveling.
That sparked your interest to put your wings.
Yeah,
to get
sparked
your wings
my interest. Yes.
To fly
you
all
get
over.
Get paid for it.
yes, and I'm glad I did.
And you know, and my background was my father was in the service, and so I had that travel bug at birth.
Yeah.
I was born in England and lived in Africa, and we just traveled all over. So I had that bug and always, but unlike, well, I think actually, Pat, I probably read about you or a flight attendant back in those days that had tried to get a job and was not accepted in the trials and tribulations that she was going through.
Mm-hmm.
It did happen. So someone else broke the ice for you back in 1950.
Sure did. What was that, 1950?
You know, I'm not going to say because I can't, but I want to say 56 to 58. And
okay.
So she actually, you know, started that ball rolling for all of us.
Amen.
And I wanted to travel. My thing was going to be join the service, travel the world, which I wanted to join the Navy, and dare to dream be a stewardess. Which I was really surprised to be able to get. So, I, like you, coming from Chicago, I remember going down south, going to Atlanta, going to the training center, which was 6 weeks of training, right, ladies?
That's correct.
And
well, not for me. I only had 5 days.
Oh.
Why did you tell us a little bit about why you only had 5 days, June?
Well, I was like Pat. I had gone to an airline school, and only mine was up in Minneapolis.
Ah.
And Delta needed, they had just bought some, got the route up to New York and had bought some Connies from Pan Am.
Mm.
And they needed some stewardesses to fly it.
Mm-hmm.
So they hired, I believe it was 9 of us in that class. And so I was hired. I was a desperation move, but I wasn't. I was glad.
Yeah.
Is that? I never heard of that before.
Me either. That's interesting. Wow.
Well, you know, I knew the airline codes.
Yeah.
And I knew about the airplanes.
Yes.
But you know, the actual that 5 days, most of it was taken up with buying shoes, getting fitted for uniforms,
mm.
Learning the Delta background and the history.
Mm. Mm-hmm.
And, you know, maybe evacuating at 440.
Oh, yeah.
And what plane was that again, Pat? I mean, June?
440.
That was a Condor 440.
Condor
it was a two-engine airplane.
Yeah.
There was one flight attendant. One stewardess on it, yeah.
That's right.
Oh, my. But, no, I don't know about that. Do you know about that one, Pat? Did they have those planes mm-hmm. when you were flying?
Oh, yeah, the 440s. They were just retiring and when I was coming in.
Yeah.
And, but go ahead, June.
You were 10 years behind me.
Ah, okay.
I was hired in 56.
56, ah, yeah.
And that, my goodness.
Mm-hmm.
So
they're still flying the 440s, yeah.
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 No jets. We only had piston airplanes.
Piston airplanes, that's correct, yeah.
And where
my
were
favorite
you
was
flying?
The DC-7, anyway.
What was your base, June?
Well, for the first year and a half, it was Atlanta, and then I came up to Chicago. And I think at that time I was 27 out of 29 stewardesses based in Chicago.
My goodness. Well, and how many people were in your?
Oh, I would say 35. There was maybe 35, 38 stewardesses or young women, I believe.
And how
we didn't have guys yet then.
We didn't have guys, that's right. Sure did.
We didn't get them until later. But how was that? How was your class? How did the teachers, the instructors, and how were your classmates? Because you were, I mean, when you walked through that door, you were definitely history and everybody knew and they were waiting for you. But how did they treat you? How was that approach?
Oh, I thought it was wonderful because they treated me just like they treated me just as nicely as they treated the other ladies there. So I went through there, through the class. Oh, it was a breeze. It was a little hard with the training. Like June said, trying to learn how to evacuate each airplane and learning the equipment on each aircraft, that was a little tough, but everyone seemed to get along real, real well. So I was very happy about that. So I really didn't have a problem. The teachers were great. I was again treated equally with everyone else. And maybe I think a couple of ladies didn't make it through, or one little lady didn't make it through because she was 19 years old, and you had to be 20 years old and to get into a stewardess to graduate. And I just got in and got out. I was 19 and a half and turned 20 when I came out. So it was
that was all because of serving liquor. Is that correct?
Yes, that's. Yes, correct.
That's right.
Yes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Oh.
Yeah, they had. We didn't serve liquor when I first started, but we had to be 20 at that time.
Mm-hmm.
They had just lowered the age from 22, I believe, to 20 when I was hired.
Wow. Oh. Hmm.
And
well,
so what did you
serve?
Just Cokes and 7-Up?
No, Cokes. I don't even think we had 7-Up right away when I first started. We had Cokes and coffee and tea.
Is that right?
And, and on the 440, we didn't even have tray tables. We had them put blankets in their laps and put the trays on top of their pillows.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
Well, I tell you, I didn't know that. I'm learning something today, too, because I don't know those days. I remember when we first... flying. Of course, you know, service was service, and that's when you started out and you greeted the passengers and they were served cocktails on the ground before you
mm-hmm.
took off. Mm-hmm. And during all the hustle and bustle of boarding your flight, we had to pass the magazines.
Mm-hmm.
We had to pass the pillows. Remember, we had to offer
mm-hmm.
that, ladies, for the service.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yes.
Don't forget
well.
The seat charts.
No, the seat charts.
Now, the seat charts in first class,
charts.
You mean?
Mm-hmm. Well, we had seat charts in, well, when I first started, it was only first class.
Mm-hmm.
And then they started getting the tourist, it was airplanes, you know, like the DC-6 flew the cheaper fares.
Yes.
And then I think when we got the jets, they started combining the airplanes. So we had first class in front and the tourists in the back.
Yes.
But we at that time in the back we were still hanging coats, and we're taking
oh,
seat
yeah.
charts.
That's right. I remember that. Yes. That's been DC-7.
Oh,
I remember doing
you
that.
You know, that's
yeah.
I, mm-hmm. I'm sure it's very interesting to some of our listeners. Now, you're saying that it was only first class, so they only had, not like today when we're on the other airlines where they all have one cabin. We're saying that Delta only had, like, first class service?
It wasn't just Delta, all the airlines.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. It was.
So all the airlines just had first-class service. So anyone who purchased the ticket back then, it was a first-class ticket.
Yeah, do you remember the OAG, the official airline guide?
Guide.
I remember the OAG.
Yes.
And for our listeners, explain that. OAG was the book where we would have to write entries of any type of broken items on the airplane.
No. The OAG
yeah.
was a book that was published by, I believe, the FAA, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
And it listed all the airlines where they flew and the fares that were charged.
Oh, the OAG, yep. yes. Oh, and it even listed the fares. I forgot that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was before deregulation.
Mm-hmm.
And so we all had this on the airplane. So what did we do? We went back and we were doing checking, making reference to it if someone were to ask us about other flights.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I'd like to, go up to Kalamazoo or whatever. And so we'd pull out the OAG and see
mm-hmm.
if there was a flight that they could connect
mm-hmm.
on.
Right.
I forgot all about it.
I remember that. Yeah. Well, that was way back when.
That was back when we had service.
Yeah, the DC-6s and DC-7s, too. Oh, boy, favorite little airplanes. Oh, boy.
Yeah.
The prop jobs are great. Yeah.
Now, the OAG was printed every year. I mean,
every month.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Hey, I forgot all about that. I forgot all about that. So we were like travel agents on the plane on top of being a feature, right, lady?
Right.
Yes. Right. Correct.
Oh, that is too funny. Too funny.
Yeah, that's when the airline school I had gone had attended, that came in, that training came in really nicely when it came in for that OAG.
Yeah.
OAG. That kicked in. I said, oh, now I know about this.
And you know what, ladies, I just remembered. That is exactly that was the process that I took too, although it did not happen. I think the name of the school, and Pat, being from here, you Illinois, you might have done the same thing. It was Weaver or Beaver School. Do you remember the name of your school that you went to for training, for reservations?
Atlantic Airlines School. I think that might be the name of the school. I'm not sure.
Okay. Well, I think it was Weaver or Beaver, and it was $600 to go, and it was
mm-hmm.
insane. And they had said, even though you went to this school, it did not mean that you were going to be hired as a stewardess.
Mm-hmm. That's correct. You are correct on that. Mm-hmm.
Exactly, and it was like in the fine print because you were
mm-hmm.
so excited. You thought this was an airline school that would help
mm-hmm.
you at that point, then to be hired as a
mm-hmm.
stewardess.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember the person coming out to my house and talking to my parents,
mm-hmm.
and I was all excited. And as smart as my father was, he said, well, now, these are the options. We can do this, we can do that, because $600 was a lot of money out of a family
mm-hmm.
income. And I remember him saying that, and I guess I made the decision. I'm sure I did because he would have supported me, but I remember not going because after reading that fine print and then talking to other people, they were saying that if you wanted to be a stewardess, you needed to be hired by the airline. So then I remember taking the time out and then applying to all the other airlines. Because, Pat, as I think, you and I remember, Delta was not a big airline in Chicago, in the Midwest.
No. Yes. Yes.
So for us to be hired, that was heaven sent for us to be hired for a Southern airline, and we were way up in the Northwest.
Yes. Yes.
Because now, did you ever hear back from TWA or United? Did you ever have an interview?
Those three major airlines, yes, I did. I did hear from them. It was a, like I said, it was a no. But Delta was the only airline that accepted my my request and asked me to come to fly down to Atlanta, which they sent me a pass to do that, to be interviewed. So that's how it was.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, okay.
I tell you, this walking down memory lane is really something, isn't it, lady?
It is. It really is.
Yes, it was wonderful.
I mean, how many times, though, June, have you thought about being the only one, which I think is really funny now when I'm non-revving, which to the audience is traveling on your days off, and seeing the our co-share, or I think, isn't it called still co-share airlines? The airlines at Delta,
those little airlines. I went up to Minneapolis, and I didn't recognize the uniform. I didn't recognize the airplane, and I'm looking in the seat pocket, and the airplane's made in Brazil, and I thought, whoops.
Oh, my goodness. Now, see how we've come a long way.
Yeah.
Long way. Well, tell you. Well, do you ladies have any other stories, or would you like to, for those flight attendants, those young people out there that would like to, are considering an airline career, what would be your advice to them? Would you say to them, go to school first, get your degree, learn the world, or as I did both. I traveled, I went to school, I did a bunch of things during my whole career. But don't you ladies think that basically this is one of the best careers and jobs that any lady could ever consider or person?
Oh, I agree.
Me too. I really agree. I agree. If the young lady or young man would like to do this, yes, go. I would say go apply to any of the airlines and see if that will work. And if it does, when you're hired, go ahead and do it and fly. And at the same time, you can also go to school. You can also finish go into a college if you'd like to do that. And your days or times off, and you can do that. So it's perfect. It's a perfect job.
Pat, I think they have to have if not a college degree, at least a college education now before they talk to them.
Okay,
and
talk to them now.
Yeah,
okay.
And you really it would really behoove them to learn another language.
Oh, yes, that's right.
Because just about all the airlines are international.
Oh, that's correct. That's right. Exactly. So you're saying that they should go ahead and try to get a college degree?
Well, get some college and get a language.
Okay, get a language.
Learn a language.
Okay. All right.
Yeah, I think that you're absolutely right, June, because it is. Delta, when I was based in New York, a lot of times they weren't having classes for non-speakers, which we call them people who spoke the language of the countries that we were flying to.
Yeah.
And they would have nothing but classes of people who spoke different languages. So I think words to the wise out there that are listening, that definitely if you're interested in pursuing a career with the airlines, that try to spruce up your application a little bit, it would be really advantageous to speak another language.
Mm-hmm. Yes, I really think it's become a necessity.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yes. So now what do you do on your days off, ladies? We're going to only, the show is coming to a conclusion, but I'd like to just be able to give everyone an update. Pat, what do you do? You're involved in a lot of community service. Do you have any sports that you like?
Actually, I'm retired, and I do a lot of community services with the community here in Florida, and involved, of course, with my church. And that's what I do. That's what I love to do, and it's very fulfilling.
Okie doke. That's wonderful. That's wonderful. And June, what do you do on your days off?
Exactly what I please. I don't do any volunteer work anymore. I do a lot of gardening. I bridge. I read. I travel. I like to play games.
Oh, a lot of those word games.
Yeah, and I enjoy the city of Chicago.
Mm. Yeah,
you know it has so much. Mm. It has the museums and the Art Institute, and I enjoy living.
Amen.
Exactly. Well, ladies, I tell you, I have enjoyed this interview, and I hope that my audience has learned, as I said before. I hope that you will meet somebody new and learn something interesting. And I think from both of you ladies, I think they should really feel inspired with dedicating yourself to something that you believe and you love so long. I mean, 45 years is a long time to do one thing, as well as 35 years. But not just to go to work, but to enjoy it. Enjoy what you are doing and enjoy life. And now, isn't it wonderful to say that we're sitting back and we're reaping the benefits of hard work and dedication to a wonderful company?
It really is.
Yes, yes.
I agree. I think we got an education just flying.
Yes, I did.
Oh, we did
get
an education.
Mm-hmm. Yes, big education.
Called,
yeah.
Yeah, the universal education. We learned different cultures. We met people from all over the world. And we established friendships for all of these people. That some of us still go back to the different countries where we laid over and to visit these people.
Yeah,
that's true. That is so true.
That's a very interesting thing. So with that, ladies, I think that we are going to end the show. I really appreciate everything that you've done today, and I hope that you will tell your family and your friends to tune in, because my next show will be with the first male flight attendant that flew for Delta. Do you know, I know you know Eugene Hardman, Pat. Do you know Eugene Hardman?
I don't think so.
Well, he is still flying. So I think he's put in about 40-something years now himself. And he owns an art gallery in Atlanta, and we will be interviewing him. Also, I will be having Finola Smith on the show. She was the second African-American flight attendant that Delta hired, and I believe her year was around 67 then.
I thought she was 1966 also, if I'm not mistaken.
Later on in 66. I will be interviewing her, so you have to stay tuned for that. So with that being said, ladies, thank you so much. Thank you, June.
Thank you, Casey. Good to talk to you, Pat.
Okay, you too, June. I appreciate it. Thank you.
All right.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Okay, goodbye,
okay,
ladies.
See? Thank you.
Goodbye.
Bye.
Goodbye. And for my audience, I'd like to say thank you so much for listening. And please remember to tell your family and your friends that I will be on every Wednesday at 11 o'clock. And this is the Fly Girl Show. And I am your host, Casey Grant. And my call-in number is 347-857-3609. And I would love to have you call in, become a part of the show, and let me hear your comments and your views, and maybe even some ideas as to who you may want to hear on my show. Have a wonderful day, and thank you so much.